01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a huge weekend across Scottish football. Martin O'Neill and Danny Rule have the final say for now on Sunday's Old Firm scenes, with attention now turning to Motherwell and St Mirren respectively. Hearts trip to Kilmarnock is sandwiched in between, with Stephen Robinson taking charge of Aberdeen for the first time, and you don't even need to wait until tomorrow because it's Morton against Partick Thistle, game on despite a pitch inspection in the Championship this evening. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Well, let me start off with a football one right away, because we've all had our fun with this and it's been a terrific season. I think tomorrow more twists and turns and into Sunday. I think Motherwell beat Celtic tomorrow. I think Kilmarnock and Hearts at Rugby Park is a draw, and Rangers will beat managerless St Mirren. There you are. Pick the bones out of that.
I'm always worried about him when he gives us his match predictions at 4 minutes past six on the Friday night. That means he's excited. It means he's built up for what's happening over the weekend.
You can tell the excitement in the voice there, Phew. You know, he's getting... I think the biggest reason why most people are excited is because the football's back again this week. So hopefully we can talk about the football, what happens on the pitch, in a positive light. I mean, it's been a phenomenal season so far in terms of the drama and the excitement. And, you know, there's still, as Phew said, so many twists and turns to come. No one can really predict what's going to happen over the next few weeks, but there are some massive games ahead. I think from the fact is the weekend, we look forward to all the games. And you said a new manager up at Aberdeen, that's going to be a big moment for Stevie Robinson. How will St Mirren cope without him? So there's an awful lot of subjects, and thankfully, as I said, it's about the football, and let's hope we're back on track again for the weekend.
Maybe not quite done with last week yet, because it's the first time Martin O'Neill has addressed the media again since Danny Rule, the same, both on a similar theme actually, of hoping it doesn't damage away allocations too much going forward. But now I think handing it over to that Scottish FA investigation to see what plays out from here and on the field. As the guys have alluded to, you could not ask for more. Even the scheduling. Celtic will go first. Yes, Motherwell had that blip last week, but they still remain one of the harder teams to play this season. How does that play out? What the Hearts do in response when they go down to Kilmarnock on a Saturday night kickoff, and then Rangers up against managerless St Mirren the following day. What will the title race look like come Sunday evening? It could all change, it could all stay the same, and even at that, that would still then be something in itself, because you tick off another game and we move towards the end of the season. So pick up the phone, let us know what you're thinking tonight. 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts on the title race this weekend, your thoughts on how each of those three games will go, what that'll mean for the title race. If you want to get specific, Celtic fans, are still no Callum McGregor. Kasper Schmeichel, maybe, says Martin O'Neill. Kieran Tierney's back. How do you feel about this weekend? Because one thing that's definitely been lost since last week is probably the Celtic performance. Understandably, you're just happy to go through in penalties. Then there's all the stuff after. But my goodness, I don't think many of you are happy with the 120 minutes. So what needs to improve this weekend against Motherwell? And similarly for you Rangers fans, because we've touched on this week about, is there extra pressure now on Danny Rule? What does it look like? How important does this title race become, given that all the other trophies are gone? If you've had some disappointing away results in recent weeks, which you have, and then one at home, do you need to do something differently? Do you need to mix it up this weekend against St Mirren? And of course, anything else, St Mirren fans, Aberdeen fans, the managerial change, the Championship game tonight, we are here for you. 01419511025.
The reason why I start off with Celtic against Motherwell is because of the heroic defending that Celtic do, the good goalkeeper they've unearthed in Sinisalo, the hard-working, if not exactly brilliant midfield, minus Callum McGregor, but up front. Celtic's top goalscorer is Benjamin Nygren with 19. The second top goalscorer has 8 and hasn't scored in his last 13 games. The second top scorer at Celtic is Daizen Mehta. He hasn't scored in the last 13 games. That's why I think Motherwell have an outstanding chance tomorrow.
8 minutes past six now, and he's already annoyed me. He's gone. He's predicted Motherwell win too many times already for my sanity on a Friday night. So that's him banned from now until 8 o'clock. But Jim, seriously, this is what it's all about now. You're just guaranteed drama. You look at those three games, and what I alluded to there, there's no boring, dull outcome. Even if they all stayed the same, even if they all won, that then just suits Hearts, because you're just, you know, you're just a week closer to winning the title. Like, you're guaranteed a big weekend every match day now.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously in this part of the world we tend to focus, of course, we do, on the bigger clubs. But the likes of Hearts haven't gone away. I don't think they'll go away in the final in the run in. They're going about their business and just picking up results. And the pressure is definitely on Celtic and Rangers every week, because they have no margin for error. And going to Motherwell is tough a task.
Hosting Motherwell, yep.
Hosting Motherwell is a real tough task. So therefore, it's one of those ones where Celtic, as Hugh said, have to do better in the final third. Last week, I thought it was an outstanding defensive performance, and I think outstanding management. I have to say that from Martin O'Neill. It was not the first time, I think, we've said that about Martin. You know, he realised his team, you know, were weak in certain areas, and therefore, he done what all good managers do. He made his team hard to beat, and they were. And the likes of Ocean Trusty, who's come in for a fair bit of stick, was immense. Sinisalo, as Hugh said, has come in over the last couple of weeks and did really, really well, to the point now where if Schmeichel is back fit and healthy again, it would be a real shock if he lost his place in the team. So there was a lot of big performances from Celtic in the defensive side, in the tactical side, organisational side. No surprise, as I said, you know, that it was Martin O'Neill put that team on the pitch, but they need to be more creative in the final third and more ruthless in the final third to beat a team with the quality that Motherwell have shown.
And then
all
huge
season.
Huge questions now, Hugh. Not doesn't have to be doomsday, doesn't have to be disaster territory, but surely questions for Rangers, because that day that they beat Hearts, they're the ones apparently with all the momentum.
Yeah.
And they've not won a game since, and they've gone out the Scottish Cup. So momentum comes and goes quite quickly here.
And Danny Rule talking about 9 cup finals. Well, he should stay off cup football, because he's lost to Celtic twice in cup football this season. Livingston, for example. Livy take a 2-goal lead on a day when they were supposed to be very much the underdogs. Rangers got away with it there. Celtic, they're 2 up. And they still don't win the match.
1-0up against Motherwell with 10 men.
Yeah. And 12 draws in total, Jim, for the league season so far. Now, Stephen Robinson's gone to Aberdeen. Craig McLeish will take charge of the team on Sunday. But they've lost Marcus Fraser, a very important player for St Mirren. They are down at the foot of the table for a reason. Since winning the Premier Sports Cup final against Celtic, they've collapsed. So if Rangers don't win against St Mirren and Paisley on Sunday, Danny Rule's in bother.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. That should be the scene pretty much set for you. But if there's something else that's out there and you want to discuss it with us, you know exactly where we are. We'll hear from Martin O'Neill and Danny Rule. They both had their say on the reflections now, if you like, on what happened at Ibrox at the weekend. And now attention turns to performances on the pitch of the players this weekend. So get the calls in, let us know what you're thinking. There is that big game in the Championship this evening as well, but it looks like Grant in Prestwick was first through. How are you, Grant?
I'm not too bad, how's things?
Good, good, good. What are you thinking tonight?
Just, I was on a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, that's the thing, I was talking to Jim again. I was hoping that Rangers would be favourites and win this title. But I said to Jim that Rangers would really struggle with firepower up front, and I just don't see where these goals are coming from now. I thought we needed a striker maybe for the last 10-15 games to get possibly 15 goals. I don't see us getting anywhere near that. I just think it's too much pressure on Rangers now, especially after winning against Hearts and not winning a game since. It's just a big ask for Rangers, I think.
Can I just say, it feels very cruel to be asking the Queen's Park assistant manager about Rangers' lack of firepower.
Yeah, because they won 8-0.
You'd only just got over it, and Grant's on to say they don't score enough goals.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, you know, take that game aside where Rangers were excellent and we were poor on the day, then they did score a number of goals. But I do agree with Grant to a certain degree. But I also think it's a bit of creativity in the final third. You know, Mikey Moore's been very positive and one of the kind of shining lights in there. Chimiti's obviously come up, as you mentioned, the two each game a couple of weeks ago. They are two phenomenal goals. And again, he scored against Hearts a couple of weeks ago, the hat trick. Nadiri's still to settle in. Scove Olsen's been a bit of a disappointment, and there's no one else really that's looking to chip in with goals, you know, and I think that the midfield's got to be a little bit more positive, take a few more risks, put a few more balls in the box and ask questions more defenders. Although Sinisalo had a very good game for Celtic, he wasn't called upon that often to make too many saves. And I know Danny Rowe came out after it, he'd been 24 shots to their one, all these things. But, you know, they weren't as if they missed a series of chances. So I think Grant's right. I'm not saying it's directly down to a striker to score the goal, because they did sign Nadiri, and was he 3 million or something like that? So it was a big signing. Chermiti's obviously there. They've still got Miovski, but I do think they've just lacked that a wee bit of extra risk taking and quality in the final third to create chances for their strikers. I think they need to do that more.
Here's the thing though, Grant, I get why that feels like the pressing issue this week, because ultimately against Celtic in the Cup you had all that territory and didn't look like scoring. But what about the other end? In Danny Rule's first 16 games in the league in charge, you conceded 8 times. You've now conceded 8 in your last 5 league games. So is it not actually at the other end that things have changed?
I hear what you're saying there. I do hear what you're saying. But we need to score goals to win. And Jim's right. We need to get the guys from midfield creating chances. We need to get the balls in the box. We need to get midfielders taking a chance, playing the ball forward, having a striking goal. But I know what you're saying about the defence. I do know what you're saying, but ultimately, we need to score goals.
Hugh,
we do need to score goals.
Yeah, you were in danger of stating the obvious about how you need to do both. But but on that micro period, then that you know, Rangers scored 2 at Livy, but they conceded 2.
Yeah,
they scored 2, in case you couldn't remember, to go up convincingly against Celtic. But conceded 2. It feels like it's actually about finding the sweet spot for Danny Rowe, rather than, you know, focusing all on lack of goals scored, because they're conceding a lot in the league.
Yeah, you can't second guess what happens to Rangers. When they beat Hearts at Ibrox, you would honestly have thought, well, that's the watershed moment. Things will be different now. But they go from bad to worse. I find it unfathomable that Rangers play Celtic twice at Ibrox, League and Cup, overwhelm Celtic in the first half of the league game, but if that game had lasted 5 more minutes, I think Celtic would have won it 3-2. The cup tie, you're playing a Celtic side minus Tierney, McGregor, Engels, Carter, Vickers, Johnson, Jota. What do you want? And yet they were hopeless. So I was about to say, well, if they can't beat managerless St Mirren, but then I remembered, St Mirren are only third bottom. They couldn't beat the team who were bottom. So I think they will win at Paisley. I think Grant and every other Rangers fan shouldn't care what it looks like as long as it happens. Mm. But if it doesn't happen, I shudder to think.
So last couple of games, Grant, put a serious dent in your title hopes.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. As I say, every game is a cup final. Shu said you shouldn't be saying that, but every game is a cup final now for Rangers. I think Rangers need to win every single game from now to the end of the season to win the league, and they still might not win the league. Hearts are in the driving seat. It's just a hard one. Rangers had it in their hand, but as I say, is it 4 games they've drew now? And it's at the end of the day, it's been schoolboy stuff. So it has in the end, and it's Rangers have only got themselves to blame now.
It'd be interesting then, Jim, because I know we're quick to try and come up with sort of patterns. Mm-hmm. So it does seem to be the waveform just now that people are looking at, because Livingston came after Motherwell, which came after Hibs. Mm-hmm. So it's another one on the road. St Mirren, where I don't know, I mean, it's still considered a tough place to go, I guess, despite their league table, despite Stephen Robinson not being
there. Normally you would find that because you don't know if they'll change the system slightly. I don't see them changing, you know, maybe from the three at the back sort of situation, but they normally went man for man with Stevie Robinson and things like that and played a certain way. So whether that'll get tweaked with Craig McLeish being we'll have to wait and see. But in terms of Rangers and, you know, those type of games, I think, as you mentioned there, their own, Gordon, it's getting the balance right. You know, I mean, whether do you play Deion Stirling, who's a more, you know, defensive, maybe is a bit more solid defender rather than James Tavernier, and Romans is done well but didn't play well against Celtic, so they're still finding their feet, one or two of them. But as I mentioned earlier on, I think that away from home, they haven't quite got that decision making right at times, and I think that's got to get better. I mean, Grant saying there that they had it in hand, they did. I mean, after he was saying after beating Hearts, you'd have thought, yep, Rangers are right up for it. I honestly thought when they were Hearts, they are the team who are likely to go and win this league, but I don't think so now.
Thank you very much to Grant, who's not too optimistic as a Rangers fan of winning the league from here going into the weekend. What about you, Paul? How would you rate your chances as it stands?
Listen, still banging it, Gordon. I mean, Celtic's got a tough game against Motherwell, so they've still got to do that. And then you've got the post-match split. So, disappointing without the cup, disappointing dropping 2 points against Celtic. But, listen, I would rather drop the points now and have a strong end to the season. So, we're still very much in it. But my point tonight was just to ask Jim and Hugh whether they think that this is maybe the end for Theo Asgard and Bojan Miloski. The reason being, I'm surprised that Danny Rowe not bringing Miloski on. I mean, he's past history against Celtic. I don't know how many goals he scored against him when he was at Aberdeen, but I'm sure it was quite a few, or he was quite dangerous anyway. I'm not saying that would have made a difference, but he never got a chance to come on at either game. Now, that could have been tactical throughout the match, I don't know, but I was just surprised with his physicality. As I said, his goal scoring, some of the goals he has scored with Rangers have been quite instinctive, and he never got a chance. And Asgard, again, he's maybe a creative spark. He's not had a chance. What do you think?
I would concentrate on Miloski. For me, and everyone knows that so far, he's been a shadow of the player who was at Aberdeen. However, if I'm Danny Rule and I've watched my players struggle for 100 minutes, 110 minutes against Celtic, my inclination surely has to be to bring on a proven striker to see if he can just get it right once, and that would have been enough. So I was surprised, Jim, that he just 2 hours and he didn't go on the park.
Yeah, I think it's a surprise it didn't put him on. But
you become a better player when you're not on the pitch sometimes. He's not been pulling up trees for Rangers, clearly.
No, sometimes you do, but you know, if your strikers are, you know, just hitting a brick wall all the time, then eventually, even if they're not any better, if you don't think he's a lot better or whatever, then sometimes just a different, but again, I go back to the creativity, and I do think there's a player in Asgard. I really do. I think he's taken longer than that than I would like, and I think, you know, the Rangers fans would like to really be consistent. But there are moments in his game where he's got real, he's got balance, he's got creativity, he can score a goal. He just hasn't done it enough. But again, in that type of game, when you're dominating the ball, you're really doing very, very little defensively. You could have afforded an extra player in that area, I feel, you know, and I think somebody like Asgard could have been a difference maker in the game last week.
Okay, Paul's not giving up on the title, thinks it's very possible. Previous caller not so sure. What about you, Celtic fans, Hearts fans, everybody else involved? Let's work our way through it and speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Big weekend coming up in the Scottish Premiership title race. Celtic go first at home to Motherwell. Here's a squad update from Martin O'Neill ahead of that one on the injury list at the moment.
Callum's still, it's a calf strain, and we're hopeful, pretty hopeful. He's done very well in recovery, and we'd be hopeful for him for next week. No, funnily enough, Tim, my physio, mentioned this to me this morning. I think there's sort of rumours flying around that's what it was. No, it's got nothing to do with that. That was an Achilles injury. This is just a calf thing. Kieran's in better shape, and he'll be there. And Casper's he's much, much better now. He doesn't feel he trained today, and he didn't feel his shoulder is feeling much better after the injection.
This Casper Schmeichel thing, Hugh, at some point, is he going to be fitting on the bench, and then you know for sure that it's a choice to put Sinisalo in? Yeah. It just feels strange that he was ill, now he's injured.
Well, you know,
possible, of course, don't get me wrong. I've been hanging about with you too long.
Cynics will say, oh, he's taking a huff because Sinisalo's in goal. But I think it's disrespectful to Sinisalo now. I think he has earned the right to be considered the number one goalkeeper, and it's his shirt to lose. Even if Kasper Schmeichel was 100% fit, I think that Sinisalo would and deserves to start tomorrow's game.
Paddy is on the line. He's a Celtic fan. Take it away, Paddy.
Good evening, gents. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm confident we're going to win Celtic. We're going to win, I would think, 3 or 4. 0. If Hugh Keevans can make bold predictions, then you call us.
Exactly.
Certainly can. So, yeah, in fact, after the recent performances and the defensive options that we have, including, obviously, the Sinisalo situation, I'll make a bold prediction for you. I'd be surprised if we concede any more than 5 goals between now and the end of the season.
Paddy, even I wouldn't try that one on.
I want to ask Paddy's theory about the other end, Paddy, because, listen, it's entirely possible. I'm not going to go with a counter bold prediction of my own in case it comes back to bite me. But what makes you think that you go from as blunt 120 minutes as you did last week to, you know, a 4 tomorrow?
Well, we've got Kieran Tierney coming back. He's been on the score sheet a couple of times of late. We've got him. But Maeda, albeit the goals haven't counted, they've been chalked off, he has been getting into scoring positions. He has netted. And if it hadn't been for his, his colleagues, ill-timed runs or whatever, then those goals would have counted. But I'm more confident because I think Askew himself and the Motherwell side of things, he's going to be compromised tomorrow. Because as everyone knows, Askew is the manager in waiting.
I'm cutting you off, Paddy.
Paddy.
I only usually cut people off for swearing, but he's going. Paddy's getting the button.
Yeah, I mean, he's tip Maeda, who hasn't scored in 13
games. Oh, I'm less worried about that. I'm more worried about his last bit.
And to say he's compromised is to accuse the man of cheating.
He's got his tongue in his cheek, Paddy.
But I'm glad that I've inspired Paddy into bold predictions, but very they're all rubbish.
The last thing I need is this is the next Celtic manager narrative out there tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he may well be in the running, and if Motherwell will continue to do well, then he probably will be. But I think just in terms of the game, you know, you mentioned the defensive, improvement in Celtic. Obviously, I think Austin Trusty is still suspended, isn't he? So he'll be missing. So Scales will go back to centre back, and
Murray or Arthur.
You would probably think Arthur or Dane Murray will be centre back alongside him, and Kieran Tierney comes back in. That's what I said. Good management is working with the tools you've got and getting the very best out of them, and that's what Martin O'Neill's done. He realises that they're maybe not the free flowing team that him and Celtic fans like to go and watch. But if you can be effective in different ways, and that's what they've got to be. But they will definitely have to be a lot better on the ball against Motherwell, because Motherwell have been the best in possession, I think, in the league this year. And, you know, maybe not always get the results that their style of play has shown. And they've got one or two injuries as well, as you well know, Gordon. So I think that Celtic are getting Motherwell at probably the best time of the season. So that's the reason why I think Celtic will win the match.
I think Celtic would be failing as a club if they didn't have Jens Bertel Askew on their list of potential candidates. Well, there's no point. I mean, we're here in professional journalism land, and that's just the case. Celtic's judgment of players is appalling when you see people who are getting a game now, but they would have to have Askew on their list of candidates. However, that's for later. His job tomorrow is to win the match for Motherwell. For me, Maswanisi, everyone, they play such terrific football. I think, although they had a real setback at Dundee last weekend, I think Celtic, the loss of Trusty, who was outstanding against Rangers last weekend, I just think it points to a difficult day for Celtic. And, you know, as for up front, I think Celtic are woefully short, and I mean woefully short.
You're a defensive expert, Jim Duffy. Can you take, how much confidence can you take? Paddy's taking loads from the defensive performance. Yeah. Five goals he thinks he'll concede, or struggle to concede five in the next remainder of the season. But is there also a case to say that it's a style thing? And Austin Trusty is a great example of his comfortable in that backs to the wall type of thing that you have to do last week.
Yeah, he done defend it away last year.
But not every game's like that.
No. You know, because you've got a block of players in front of you. You're not exposed. You know, your full backs aren't too high. You know, you're sitting quite deep. You're not up at the halfway line. You might have decision making. You basically defend your last 25 yards in or about your box. And he is very good at that. He showed a wee bit of courage as well, taking a penalty and took it very well. So fair credit to as I say, because he has taken a bit of criticism. But I think, you know, when you're not got the goals that Celtic normally have, as Hugh mentioned there, then you have to make sure that if you've got to win a game 1-0, then that might have to be the case for a couple of games. I don't see as Paddy's very optimistic scoring 3 and 4 goals. I don't think that'll happen. But I do think they've got enough to win the game, but they have to be resolute. They have been, you know, away to Stuttgart. You know, the two goals that Chimetti scored a couple of weeks ago were phenomenal goals. You know, one was a mistake, obviously came down to a little bit of an error from young Dane Murray that slashed at one, but still great finishes. But overall, they have tightened up at the back in the last few weeks, and I think they have to stay that way and hope that Amaida, you know, Chisavara, you know, somebody chips in with a goal or two. But I don't see them putting teams to bed by scoring 3 and 4 goals.
Well, Paddy's very confident. I'm trying to note down which prediction stood out for me the most. Who the next Celtic manager is going to be, how many goals they'll concede, how many they'll score tomorrow. I'm taking notes, keeping receipts. Jamie's on the other line. Jamie, how big a weekend is this for the destination of the title?
And what I was just saying to the producer there, I think last week I'm going to use the four penalty takers, Trusty, Ox, Maeda and Shinvara. Before last week they were getting criticised, and they were coming in for some criticism for whatnot. Four of them stepped up, 10 cracking penalties and scored. That's only going to boost our confidence.
And Maeda took one, did he?
No,
Hatate took one.
Yeah.
Hatate. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're right. And I just feel with them stepping up and taking penalties and scoring, they're not firing on all cylinders, and we're not putting teams away 3-4-0. But I think we can win tomorrow. Maybe 1-0, 2-0 would do. And if we do win, I'd probably say that would put us on the right path to go on and win the league.
Do we put too much emphasis on the outcomes of Old Firm games? And I'm not saying that there will be no positive impact on Oxlade-Chamberlain's confidence or Chavanche. They must feel good to be scoring the penalty.
Yeah.
Did it really spur your performance level on?
My confidence in Celtic would be based on a quartet of games, starting in Germany, continuing at Pittodrie, Ibrox on two separate occasions. Those four games were giving Celtic fans nightmares before they were played, but they haven't lost any of them. So that's where I would have confidence in Celtic. However, my lack of confidence in Celtic is twofold. I think the loss of Trusty due to suspension will be telling. And I think that up front, I've rarely seen, for decades, and I mean decades, a weaker attack than that.
I think Celtic, you know, at the back, yeah, trust me, we were missing. But again, he had been struggling at times. Again, got to give him a little bit of sympathy because he has played in the right hand side. People can say, oh, he's still a centre back, but he is out of position. He's the one that's had to shift across, and he's not been natural for him. He can't break forward with the ball on his right foot because he's not comfortable on it. So he has been a little bit, and also, you know, having to play with different fullbacks at times on his side as well. So, and even at the back, Schmeichel's not been, you know, filling you with confidence. So there's been a lot of reasons, I think, that he's maybe been a wee bit shaky. But in the European game, Stuttgart, and the game the last weekend, he was immense. So again, showed a strength of character, which I think is really important when you play for Celtic. You know, Jamie's saying there about the players getting confidence. I think they will get confidence from the result. You know, winning the game and getting into the semi-final. As Hugh said, the last four games, you know, some tremendous results. So football is about getting results and building confidence, and Celtic are definitely built that from last week and the previous weeks. So they should be getting into the game with that belief now that they can go and win a succession of games, which they will have to do if they've got any chance of retaining their title.
Okay, thank you very much to Jamie. The predictions are flying in for the weekend. I can't wait to see how it all plays out one way or the other. Keep the calls coming. 0141 951 1025. We'll do it again next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Friday night means excitement's building ahead of a big weekend. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here, joined on the line by Dominic, who's in East Kilbride. Take it away, Dominic.
Dominic's gone.
No, he's there on you. Carry on, we heard you.
Hi. No, I would just like to say there's clearly many an opinion, and it's a great title race, very exciting. But without being too biased, I really think that it's written in the stars for Matt Lanier to go and do the double. He's worked wonders in both occasions. If it wasn't for Celtic appointing Wilfred Nancy, there wouldn't be a title race. And I think Hearts will crumble and Celtic are going to go and do the double. I just want to see what the final thinks of that.
Well, it's written in the stars, Hugh. There's not much you can protest about.
Well, as Jim Duffy will readily testify, in football, there's nothing written in the stars. Yeah. You have to do it for yourself. However, I've laboured the point. The season for Celtic without Martin O'Neill would have been a horrendous experience. He's come in twice. Celtic are so badly run that he was allowed to go the first time, and they brought in Wilfred Nancy, which will go down in history as the worst decision ever taken by Celtic Football Club. And you're right, Dominic. It was that decision that I think will cost Celtic the title because of the 12 points lost to Hearts and Rangers and Motherwell and Dundee United.
But Dominic's saying Hearts will crumble. He says they'll come back from the Nancy disappointment.
No, I think Wilfred Nancy has been the one decision that will cost Celtic the title. However, without Martin O'Neill on two separate occasions, it would have been awful for Celtic. Celtic are very lucky that a man who'd been out of the game for 6 years was willing to come back up, first of all, from his home in London. And he has held Celtic together. He's held the club together. And what he's done is for Celtic to be second top of the league and in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup is borderline miraculous. And it's all because of Martin O'Neill. But your core point, Dominic, it is written in the stars. No, it's not. You need to go and play for it.
You've said it's miraculous. So, I mean, I know Celtic had their troubles, their Wilfred Nancy troubles. Rangers had their Russell Martin troubles. They're still Celtic. Is it miraculous? You know, how did Celtic become underdogs in all of this?
Because they have assembled awful players.
Yeah, the quality, the lack of quality.
Every time they have a transfer window, they embarrass the club.
But again, I do accept that, but then a lot of money's spent on these players as well, you know that.
Yeah, but wasted money.
That also embarrasses the club. They've paid £5 million for Michel Ange Balakwisha, who is so bad, he can't even get into the squad.
Do you see what I mean? A team who can spend that money in a league when most others can't, ain't the underdogs.
I never said they were underdogs.
I think they are underdogs.
I think Wilfred Nancy killed Celtic in terms of winning the championship.
I think they're underdogs because Hearts have been the dominant team the whole season, but the most consistent team. That's why they still have that advantage, 5-point advantage at the top of the league. So therefore, you know, Hearts deserve all the credit. We obviously look at that. I mean, you know, in terms of the romance side of saying that, you know, it's written in the stars, then as we mentioned, yeah, I know this doesn't work that way. You have to earn the right to any trophy that you won, and the title's the hardest one to get. But I think we both agree, and I think most people would agree, if it wasn't for Martin O'Neill, Celtic wouldn't be at the races. You know, they wouldn't be even in the title race. And Dominic's saying if they were a kit, Martin O'Neill that time there might not be, but that may have been the case, but it might have also been the case if Danny Rowe had been in the Ibrox at the start of the season. You know, there might have been a different challenge from Rangers. So, but Derek McInnes is the one that's been there since the start. Their recruitment has been very good. They've got an awful lot of things right. I don't think they'll capitulate. I'm not saying that they'll 100% win the league. I do think they'll win the league, but that's my personal opinion. You know, Celtic and Rangers will still make an unbelievable fight to it. I think it'll go right to the wire. But I don't see Hearts capitulating. Of course, they could get very nervous in the last couple of weeks. But Celtic still have to win, you know, the vast majority, if not all of the games ahead of them, because they have that points differential to make up.
And you think Celtic can do that, Dominic? You're not concerned by the performance, as an example, last weekend? You think it's just all about the result?
Well, in my opinion, I cannot take anything away from Hearts. They have been very good. But without that bad appointment, Wilfred Nancy, they wouldn't be top of the league. Celtic would be there. And when Hughes going on about spending money in Ballarat, look at the money Rangers have spent. They can't even beat us at Ibrox twice. You know what I mean? Celtic are poor just now. Celtic have got the spirit and the fight to go on and win the double. And I believe that's going to happen. I think we'll beat Motherwell tomorrow. I think Hearts will drop points tomorrow, and it was going to be a good fight, but I think Celtic are going to do the double.
We will see tomorrow. Thank you, Dominic. Wayne is a Hearts fan, right on cue. You'll crumble, Wayne, says the previous caller. How are you feeling?
Oh, how you doing, guys? Well, I was just talking to your producer there, and literally 5 minutes ago, Hearts won this weekend, the title's finished. I know Dominic's saying it's written in the stars, and Martin O'Neill, you know, he's going to do the cup double. I watched that Old Firm game of the weekend, and it's two poor sides, and then there's 9 games to go, and I can guarantee, I might even include Hearts in this as well, we, along with them, will drop points, but so will they. And I think this 5-point cushion has gave Hearts a great, great shout for the next, 8 games after tomorrow. We'll go to Kilmarnock, and I think it will be tough. They always go to Rugby Park, it's a tough game. We went there early in the season and won convincingly, but I know Neil McCann's trying to turn things around about, but there's still what I've seen against Falkirk and then Motherwell, bit of a poor side. So I'm hoping for 3 points. And then I think there's pressure still on Celtic and Rangers. No matter what, it doesn't matter if Hearts are 2 points ahead, 3 points ahead. This Celtic and Rangers are just under so much pressure, it's unbelievable. And Hearts can just sit back and enjoy their football, keep doing the stuff that they're doing, relax and pick up the results. They'll say we'll capitulate or we'll say that we'll crumble. We've had Devlin, Lauren Shanklin, Benny Benningham's been in and out. We've lost big players, but players that have come in have done a job, and it's now been 22 weeks or 23 weeks and we're top of the league. So, you know, I'm trying to think of the Old Firm that, you know, Hearts are here for a reason, and if Hearts are going to win this, then it has to be just the best winning season that's ever happened in the last 40 years.
I don't quite buy into the pressures all on Celtic and Rangers and Hearts just jolly along and everything's fine. The pressure's on Hearts as well, because Derek McInnes has done a sensational job and he's talked up the club, talked up everything associated with the club, Tony Bloom, Jamestown Analytics, everything. And they have been a phenomenal story. However, if Hearts don't win the league, well, you've had to live with it for 40 years since you lost the league against Dundee at Dens Park. So, you know, you're going to have to cope with this as well.
There must be more pressure though on the likes of Celtic. I take there's never none, and I don't think Hearts could now just, you know, lose every game and that would be like accepted. But if you're Celtic, there must be more.
I don't think within clubs. I think within clubs you've got the same pressure. I think out with, yeah, the media and the spotlight. Yeah,
like I'll put it this way, of course. In the simplest of terms, what will the reaction be like amongst around Hearts if they don't win the league, versus what will the reaction be like from a Celtic perspective if they don't win the
Celtic,
league?
No, Celtic and Rangers.
I know, but I mentioned Celtic because they're the ones that win more often than not.
Yeah, well, Celtic with Ben, I think, if it's possible to reflect on a season in a calm and studied way, Celtic's season was shot to pieces by managerial change, by, as I say, making the worst decision in the history of the club.
It never lowered the expectations, though, did it? Because it just can't.
I think Wilfred Nancy did lower expectations. You know, after 12 points were dropped and there was chaos and they had to go, I think
most Celtic fans almost ripped the league off at that time.
Yeah, but that time. Okay, that's different, though. That's different from that becoming acceptable.
No, it's unacceptable when you've got 70, 80 million pounds in the bank and you also buy a succession of hopeless footballers.
That's what I mean. That's why that feels like, if, I don't know what the percentages are, but there must be more pressure on the big two than Hearts.
Yeah, I know, but football also has these stories. The Hearts story of losing the league in the final day of the season has gone on now for 40 years.
Financial gaps is on a different planet now, though, to what it was.
Yeah, but
then,
if you've got Hearts now, have the opportunity, as Wayne said, now have the opportunity to win the league. They have the title in their hands. We always say crossing the finish line is the hardest part. Getting to the finish line, you know, I mean, they're very, very close. You said whatever it is, 23 weeks or so, been top of the league, but getting over that line is proven to be, you know, almost impossible. Since that time, well, it has been impossible for Hearts, but for any other team, 1985 was the last. It was Aberdeen that won it under Fairley.
But it's never been getting over the line that's been the problem for these teams. They've not been close. They've been near the line.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So now the pressure, you're talking about pressure, but now they're that close to it. They've been that far ahead. You know, they've had 8 point gap, 7 point gap, all this. But that far ahead, they've got the games coming up, they've got the expectations of the fans. Well, within Hearts itself now, the pressure is mounting. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
We're not talking about Gallifreyan here. Mm. We're talking about a club who regularly, in fact, I'd imagine every home game now is a sellout at Tynecastle. They are a major club in this country.
Not a major club in title races, though. It's a different context, isn't it?
But to isolate this season, they're in pole position, it's their title to lose. If they don't win it, there will be massive disappointment, because, as I say, we're not talking about Gallifreyan, we're talking about Heart of Midlothian and a full Tynecastle. And
it's the best chance I'll ever have, because both of the main protagonists in this league, with Celtic predominantly and Rangers, have had poor seasons. So you've got to take advantage of that, and Hearts so far have done, but they've still got to, you know, nail it by getting over the line.
For the avoidance of doubt, I don't think anyone's suggesting, Wayne, that you won't be disappointed if you don't win the league. I thought that was obvious. I think you're more trying to say there's more pressure on Glasgow's side.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know we're saying isolated this season. Like, look at the start of the season when, you know, Russell went into Rangers. They were obviously saying back in the summer when they appointed him, Rangers fans weren't happy. There was a good, like, 50%. Well, no, probably more than that. So to be fair, Danny Rowe's actually done a great job just to neutralise that team, to get them playing the confidence, to pick up results. This is Scottish football at the end of the day. As you said, Gordon, nobody has challenged for the title since Hearts 40 years ago. There's nobody been there fighting it, like, right up against the Old Firm. I know Rangers ended up going through their transition in 2010, but you'd have Aberdeen finishing second in, for the, was it four or five seasons? But they weren't really pushing Celtic, so I think for an isolated season, this is great for Hearts, but if for some reason we don't win it, it's still a great season for Hearts. Like, I still think that, you know, it's been great for us being in the headlines, getting spoke about. We've pushed, we've beat the Old Firm a good couple of times this season, home and away, and, you know, we've not even lost at Tynecastle yet. So I just feel as though that we're just, the boys are just riding a wave, and I honestly think the pressure is 100% on the Old Firm.
Pressure's about to be one of these two next, though, because we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, let's finish the week on a high. Beat the Pundit time. You have to call before 7 o'clock to take on Jim Duffy or Hugh Keevans and try and win yourself a signed ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. Get your calls right now, please, on 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141
951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to jump on board, enjoyed that first hour, just back and forward about who's going to win the title, what are the implications this weekend, predictions, all that sort of stuff. Lots happening and lots to look forward to. So keep the calls coming on that. If you want to mix it up, do that as well. We'll hear from Danny Rule and Martin O'Neill as they reflect on the on-pitch debacle at the end of the game at Ibrox on Sunday. So if you have any maybe final thoughts, will we call it final thoughts for now on that, you can share those with us as well. But we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL even won on a tiebreaker last night. That's strange because he very rarely does that. Hugh, you lost last Friday on a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I thought Andrew McLean was very generous to the Dazzler last night.
Was he?
Yeah.
Didn't hear it.
I thought, let me put it this way, the outcome was bent.
Tell us what you really think. Let's bring in Aaron, who's in Paisley. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not bad at all. Who's your team, Aaron?
I'm a Rangers fan, unfortunately, at the moment.
And you're from Paisley, so you've got an extra vested interest to that trip to St Mirren on Sunday. Maybe we'll talk about that in a second, but let's play first with the coin. Okay. If it is blue, it's Hugh. If it's red, it is Jim Duffy. I mean, I'm happy to see Jim Duffy always, but I can just sense the wee spring in Hugh's step when it's a pundit that he knows gives him a lift home after the show. I could see the glint in his eye when you walked in, Jim Duffy. So it's great to have Jim ready to play. One of them will do it though. Let's find out. And it's Jim Duffy, or the taxi driver, as he's known this evening.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Up against Aaron. In fact, you know what, you should be extra privileged because this man is became a professional chauffeur, remember?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, well, you know,
just a professional chauffeur years just taking Hugh about many other people.
Not just any lift home, you know. Let's get ready. We'll get Jim up against Aaron on the line. So we'll give Jim something else to listen to. Aaron, you've got 30 seconds and just answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Perfect.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Celtic manager signed Scott Allen?
It was Tony Mowbray.
Rangers won the 2010 League Cup against which team?
Queen of the South.
Martin Boyle represents which country?
Australia.
Derek McInnes played 97 games for which English club?
Bristol City.
Who was the last caretaker Scotland men's manager?
McLeish.
How many major cups have St Johnstone won?
Three.
Which two former Celtic goalkeepers were in the same squad for the 2014 World Cup?
It was Zaliska and Boric.
Okay, let's bring back Jim Duffy. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Celtic manager signed Scott Allen?
Oh, Brendan Rodgers.
Rangers won the 2010 League Cup against which team?
The 20 what?
10 League Cup.
Come on.
Martin Boyle represents which country?
Australia.
Derek McInnes played 97 games for which English club?
Bristol City.
Who was the last caretaker Scotland men's manager?
Alan McLeish.
How many major cups have St Johnstone won?
Three.
Which two former Celtic goalkeepers were in the same squad for the 2014 World Cup?
Which two former Celtic goalkeepers
were in the same squad for the 2014 World Cup?
Two goalkeepers. What are you going to be? No.
Three.
Rab.
Two.
Rab Douglas. One. I'm thinking of another one.
I need to call there. Too much time.
I say Rab Douglas, but I don't know another one.
Let's go through them. Which Celtic manager signed Scott Allen? It was Ronnie Dyla in 2015. Rangers won the 2010 League Cup against St Mirren. Remember, that's the nine men.
Oh, yeah.
One, isn't it? up against them on Sunday.
What's the score?
It's 0-0.
Right. I was going to say, because I'm certainly not getting them.
Martin Boyle represents Australia, which you both got. You both got the Derek McInnes question wrong. You both fell for the fact he managed Bristol City.
West
Brom. Played for West Brom 97 times.
Right.
15 appearances for Millwall and Stockport, if you're counting. But there we go, 97 for West Brom. It was funny because all the ones you got wrong, you both said the same thing. You both went Alex McLeish as the last caretaker Scotland manager, but it was between Strachan and McLeish. It was Malky Mackay.
All right.
Remember? Was it Pittodrie?
Yeah, I do remember Malky coming in, yeah.
How many major cups of St Johnstone won? You both said three and you both got it right, so we're still level.
Two.
And I feel slightly hard on you, Aaron, because yours was a brilliant guess for the two goalkeepers, because at 2014, Boric and Zaluska were in the same squad, but Poland never qualified for the World Cup. I don't know where Jim was going with Rab Douglas. The answer, and it might.
Was that a two Celtic goalkeeper? That's what I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about
Fraser Forster,
right,
and Joe Hart.
Oh,
see, years apart and all that, but they were both in the England squad at 2014. So what it means for the second night in succession,
2-2,
we go to the tiebreaker. Right. The question, well, what I'll do is I'll ask the question.
Sorry, can I just ask, what was St Johnstone's trophies meant?
Three. You both said three.
Yeah,
you both got it right. I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Jim to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Aaron, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I like this topical. For how many competitive games was Stephen Robinson in charge of St Mirren? Write it down, Jim, if you can. How many competitive games? Do it fast before Aaron Googles it.
Competitive games.
Yep. Aaron, what are you giving us?
I will say 180.
Okay. 180, says Aaron. 160, says Jim Duffy. So not much in it. It is 188. Well done, Aaron.
Well done, Aaron.
Eight out. Yeah. Jim, that's harsh on you though, because for a random number, that's no far off, to be fair.
180, he's not bad for 188. Well
Aaron
done, Aaron. He's
for
Paisley. It's a fix.
You'll be vested interest. Aaron, well done. Happy
well done,
with that.
Aaron.
Yeah, thanks very much. It was actually a wee bit of a personal rivalry as well.
Oh.
I played Jim Duffy twice before.
You've played him twice before?
Yeah, I've lost one and drew one, so that's me.
We're all even now, we're all even now, Aaron.
He's finally completed the set, there we go. Because did I not read that, I mean, 188 is by modern standards, as you well know, Jim, is a good innings.
Amount of games, yeah, for a manager, yeah.
I think that leaves...
Especially one club, but yeah.
It's amazing how quickly it changed. That Pye and Bovril always good for this post in the list of managers. Stephen Robinson was the third longest serving manager in the entire SPFL. Mm-hmm.
I've been quite taken aback by the reaction to his appointment at Pittodrie. You know, the negative response for a man who had three top six finishes with St Mirren, won a cup this season.
He finished third with Motherwell, didn't he?
But right away, Jim, not the man. It's not a proper fit. I do think it's as a result of the Scottish Cup defeat from Dunfermline. I think Aberdeen
speeded things up, didn't it?
Panicked. I'm not saying that he is a panic measure, but they definitely panicked, because Dunfermline won 3-0 going on 5 or 6.
So they were tumbling down the league as well.
Well, listen, any Aberdeen fans, St Mirren fans out there ahead of Stephen Robinson's first game in charge, do give us a call. Just before we let you go, Aaron, you've got your victory with your Rangers hat on. What about this weekend, and what about the title race?
Well, obviously, the past few, the most recent away games for Rangers haven't been great, so I'm not going into it filled with loads of confidence, and especially after the past couple of weeks with the two Celtic games as well. It's not looking too good, but hopefully, I'm never really that optimistic. We're anxious, to be honest, so hopefully we can prove me wrong.
So have the confidence levels dropped quite a bit since that Hearts win?
Yeah, to be honest, they were on the way up after the Hearts win, my confidence levels. I thought we were turning a corner, and then obviously it's just sort of dipped again. But I mean, being a Rangers fan, that's the way it's been for the past sort of 12-13 years.
Well, listen, you're a glass half empty guy, I can tell, which means I think I know where your thoughts in the title race are then. Not, you don't hold out much hope.
No, I think Hearts will win the league. I don't see them dropping at that many points. And obviously the way Rangers and Celtic have been going recently, they look to be the two that are going to drop more points, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think Hearts will go on and win the league.
Well, we will see. Thank you very much to Aaron, who's got a beat the pundit victory. Oh, choosing the sign, ball or the coin, what you fancy?
I'll go for the coin. I've already got a ball.
Add these collection.
Absolutely. Signed the coin. I always say signed, it just rolls off the tongue. I don't know if you can really sign it. It's a bit small. The coin is on its way to Aaron.
Scrape it.
In Paisley, engraved. Well done to Aaron again. Right, let's hear from both managers. I don't know if we ever draw a line under anything here in Scottish football, but they've both had their say for now on the stuff on the pitch at Ibrox at the weekend. The Scottish FA investigation is underway. We're going to have to talk about the football tomorrow. So maybe there's a pencil line being drawn under it for now to be looked at again in the future. But let's hear from them both. Danny Rule, because he spoke first this morning, then straight into Martin O'Neill.
Nobody likes to see this. I think was a big part after the game. Yeah, we didn't speak about football. We speak about all the other things around on the pitch, off the pitch, I think. Nobody likes to see this. It was over 120 minutes, exciting game, a lot of good emotion on the pitch, off the pitch. This is what we want. And then after, the only topic was the situation on the pitch, and this should be not happened. I think the emotional part was great during the game. I think I like to have this Old Firm with supporters from both sides. I think this is great. This makes the football exciting. It makes the atmosphere in the stadium. And I think everyone should take responsibility that we can keep going on this. Yeah, it would be a shame for us or for all of us. I think since I'm here, I really enjoyed this game with the supporters on both ends. I think this is great. If you're away or at home, that makes the football exciting. And hopefully we can carry on, but of course if such a thing happens, then you have to be careful, because it could be that there's a consequence, and then the fans, they're in the stadium and they like to see football, they get then the consequence, and it would be not nice.
Naturally, the rules out that people should stay in their positions. I thought there was a lot of emotion, joy, things like that there coming on, or a crowd coming in. Next thing you know, I'm up there. General thing is maybe to wave to the away fans at the end, regardless of the result. And then, you know, you seem to be caught in the middle of it. Next thing you know, that there's the Rangers fans are coming at the other end. So, yeah, but obviously the scenes weren't great. So I think the SFA are holding an inquiry about it. And to me, the saddest part about it all is that of course, you don't want anybody injured for a start, although they think there was some scenes outside the football club. But to me, the idea then that the full allocation of tickets looks as if that will disappear again, you know. And that's something that, as I said to you then, I would like to have seen. And I assume that because of those scenes, it probably won't happen. No, that Rangers will be due their allocation, won't they? And they're entitled to that as well, too. It's a league game. And so I don't think anybody's arguing about that.
James is on the line. What's your take on it, James?
Good evening, Jim. Good evening, Stuart.
Hi, James.
I wanted to phone to talk about Sunday's debacle. I'm a Celtic supporter. And watching that made my stomach turn. Hugh was spot on last week when he says it's 100% hatred, and that's what it is. My concern is, or my opinion is, we've got to try and find a way of making sure this never happens again. And the only thing that I can think on is a simple thing: no away tickets for any fans. No Celtic, no Rangers fans at Parkhead in a couple of weeks, and the whole of next season, the same again. And hopefully, it might make people come to their senses. That's what we're phoning in for, just to see what the boys thought of that.
Is that appropriate, Hugh, or overreaction, or what do you think of that as a measure?
I would 100% support what James has just said, but my understanding is that the Rangers will get the allocation that they have been promised for Celtic Park for the final.
That was what
game.
Martin O'Neill said. I don't know if that's said with any like cast iron guarantee or anything, but yeah, he said it today.
But I will say that what happened before during and after the game at Ibrox last Sunday leaves neither club with any moral high ground. The scenes were disgraceful, shameful, call it what you will. And I cannot accept the criticism of the police for this reason. I'm for the guy who's standing, or the lady, who's standing between me and trouble. And also, if this fixture historically wasn't the cause of so much trouble, there would be no need for literally hundreds of police officers at the game. So I'll happily, like Rangers and Celtic, wait for the outcome of the review into what happened. But I repeat, what happened before, during and after the match left neither set of supporters with any moral high ground to occupy.
They played twice already at Ibrox this season prior to the weekend. They played once at Hampden. They played once at Celtic Park. They played at Hampden last season. They played at both stadiums last season. Does that suggest that you need to ban all away fans all the time?
I think it was always a difficult one. I mean, James is saying, I think if you're looking for a solution, that is the most obvious solution to it. Is it the right thing to do? Is it to punish good fans, as we say, or fans that behave, for the misbehaviour of other ones? You know, I'm never sure if that's the right thing to do. But what I don't, and which always sticks in my throat and has done ever since I was, a kid, is people being hurt. Either outside stadiums or around stadiums because of this fixture, and it always saddens me. But I don't think I think the people who are involved in these type of things, I don't think they'll be ever embarrassed or saddened or anything like that. James is saying it's pure hatred. I think there is still that element between certain elements of the both sets of supporters, and the only way you can probably diminish it, not completely rid of it, is by making the home fans into the game. But both Danny Rowe and Martin O'Neill alluded to the fact that it created a fantastic footballing atmosphere. The game was a poor game as a footballing spectrum, but it did have a fantastic atmosphere. That intensity, and that came from the fact that there was the one section there of Celtic fans there and the Rangers fans, so there was a proper footballing atmosphere. But if they can't behave themselves, and that is the crux of that, if they can't behave themselves, then you then have to, from the policing point of view, they'll look at public safety and player safety.
Is there a danger,
and if
though,
that's the case, then you'll have to keep fans away. That's sadly the only way I think.
Is there not a danger that that's the old using a sledgehammer to crack a nut? You penalise all of those fans, and bear in mind, 7,000 is not on the agenda for any of these league games because that's the cup allocation.
Yeah.
So I think right now I think there's probably a real discussion about you can't, you're not getting 7,000 again. But do we need to go all the way to none when that's a different circumstance?
I listened to Brian Graham's eyewitness account on this programme on Tuesday evening, and I found it chilling. Brian Graham is a guy who doesn't scare easily. Otherwise, he wouldn't still be playing professional football at the age of 38. But the description he gave of children becoming more and more distressed by what was going on, and the admission from Brian Graham that he wouldn't be back at an Old Firm game, I think you have to take all of this into account. And it cannot be... I do accept that on a percentage basis, the vast majority behave themselves better than the minority. However, the extent to which the minority are going now to cause trouble is becoming a worry. And it should worry the governing body, the SFA. It's their competition. And I listened to Brian Wilson, the Celtic interim chairman, say that he would rather have evidence first before arriving at what, if anything, he should apologise for. Fair enough. But both sets of supporters have created a situation. The supporters, the unruly element within each club support, have created a situation where apologies will be necessary further down the line.
Gordon, people are still not go out. And the first thing you say to family members, if you're out in the evening of, in the town I'm talking about, or out socialising, is be careful. be careful. Why should you have to say that because there's a football match on? Who've people who've got nothing to do but just might find themselves at the wrong place or in a good place, but unfortunately,
no, but listen,
the reaction of fans.
But the point I'm saying is, listen, of course, I mean, it goes without saying that that's not a good scenario, but that won't be changed by a ticket allocation.
No, but it calms a certain area. You don't have the same build-up of aggression because you're not getting fans confronting each other as what happened at the weekend.
But so again, I'm asking is that, was it not heightened because it was 7,000 versus yeah,
it,
two?
It may have been heightened, but you could have, if you could have 2,000, 1,000, you could have 500. It all depends on who the people are that are in the stadium at the time.
No, but what I'm asking is the fact that they've done it that earlier on this season would suggest that it was the number.
No, we said at the very start there, it's harsh on good fans. That's always the case when anybody, you know, gets punished. You know, you see UEFA closing certain sections of stadiums and all these sort of things. So maybe that has to be the case. You know that
when
the,
it was,
you know, they have to close a certain section.
When it was 2,000, they still had to put netting to prevent bottles causing very, very serious injury. They had to put up netting.
Spent good money in the nets then. Can't let them go to waste.
Well, one day there'll be no opportunity for laughter.
Nobody's trying to diminish it, right?
A stronger punishment further down the line than that, as teams will be thrown out the competition for the behaviour of their fans. And I think that might be sort of, and again, you're punishing good fans, but that might be the only way to solve it, to say to fans, well, if you do behave like that, then your team will be thrown out the competition. Then, you know, that'll be on you then.
Final word to you, James.
I think the answer is when we say there's hatred, it's there. You can see it. Each side are taunting each other. But if you've no got anybody in the away end, then there's nobody to concern yourself with, because it's 30, 40, 50,000 Celtic fans or Rangers fans. See, when I watched that was a build-up, I think, over 6 years of waiting in Ibrox with a full allocation. And I think sometimes the excitement got to them. Why the fans jumped on at the park, I don't know. I know we won in Pembrokeshire. We should have stayed where we were and celebrated.
I think, to be fair, James, when Dunfermline scored a last-minute cup goal against Hibs at East End Park, the crowd spilled on. And everyone said, wow, raw excitement. So fans responding in that manner, it's not uncommon, and it's part of football.
James is also right, you shouldn't do it, but it's just that balance, isn't it?
Unfortunately, in the context of the Old Firm, jubilation is a provocation.
Well, Martin O'Neill expects there to be away fans at the next fixture, even if James doesn't think it's a good idea. We'll find out in due course. Give us a call.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. Let us know what you're thinking this evening. We've got Friday night football in the Championship as well, so we'll keep a keen eye on Morton against Partick Thistle. It had to pass a pitch inspection earlier on, but the game goes ahead. And can Partick Thistle get their points on the board and hand it over to St Johnstone over the weekend to respond? I've got a full time teaser for you first.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
This is a brutally difficult question. I'm not going to lie, I think we could be here all night. But let's see how we go. It's thanks to David in Dumfries for sending it in. And thanks to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow as well, for supporting the teaser. And as always, if you want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. The question tonight is, since it's Friday the 13th, see, it's always topical, can you name the last 7 unlucky players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game? So can you name the last 7 unlucky players to score an own goal in the Old Firm game?
Cal McGregor.
Yes, well done. That was back in 2021.
I know this was a long time ago, so I don't know if it was the last 7. Anton Rogan.
Nah, we're more recent than that. So I'll give you a bit of a. No, it's not even a clue.
Oh, John Joe Kenny.
Yes, well done, John Joe Kenny. Just to help you a little bit, because I think it is difficult, like I said. Mm-hmm. So those two you've got, there are two more recently than that, and then a couple that go sort of spread out back to the. They're all this century as well, for a start. There you go. So, all right, I'll leave that with you. Thanks again to David in Dumfries. Gary is on the line. How are you, Gary?
Hi, Gordon. I'm good, thanks. Hi, Jim and Hugh.
How are you thinking tonight, Gary?
So, I just want you, I'm always going in for Hugh. I'm not picking on him. I just want to kind of pick his brains. Mm-hmm. So, Hugh, can I just ask you a question or two to help me make my point? Would you agree that Hearts and Motherwell are both pretty good going forward and up front?
Yes.
So when you would agree, or you would say that Celtic are, I think you've used the words toothless and basically not very good.
Yeah, they were very low quality up front.
So from then, if you look at the league table, I think I've scored more goals than anybody else in the league. Does that not mean that if Celtic are toothless, everybody else must be as well? All Celtic are different standard.
Celtic not earn their different standard, though, Gary, a bit as well. I mean, you're not getting away with describing if Celtic are toothless, then Motherwell are toothless. I mean, you're talking like the difference in finances, the difference where you've been in the past.
Celtic scored 100 goals.
The Celtic not earn a bit of that? And listen, I take your point. You want to base it purely in the league table. You are right. You've researched that. You knew, obviously, that's right. Nobody can contradict. Celtic have scored the most goals in the league. You try to tell me you as a Celtic fan don't watch this Celtic team and think, compared to what we're used to, this lacks a bit in attack.
Compared, yeah, and Jim just mentioned it. Do you think we scored over 100 goals a couple of times maybe in the last kind of recent past? It doesn't matter how much Celtic have spent, or because by the way, Rangers have spent more money than Celtic recently. So it doesn't matter how much money you've spent, it's still being not very good going forward. It's just that's a scheme that was made.
So you on the basis of Celtic having scored more goals in the league than anyone else, are predicting that Celtic will win the league?
I think tomorrow's massive. And by the way, I've spoke to you before, quite recently, about the four games we played away from home: Stuttgart, Rangers, Aberdeen Rangers, and Motherwell was the one before those running four games that I was most worried about. I'll talk to you about the hardest, because Motherwell playing in that big Celtic Park pitch, like a bowling game, it could suit them. But that was before Celtic done what they've done in the four games. They've obviously, I'm not saying they've not played flowing football and they've not looked great, but they've got results. And at this time of the season especially, getting results is what it's all about. That's just it. Just win. I think tomorrow, I'm a bit more confident getting into tomorrow, and that sounds weird, at home against Motherwell, but that says all about how Motherwell have played. But I think tomorrow, if we win tomorrow, then I can see we're going to win the league.
I wouldn't disagree with what you say. If Celtic beat Motherwell tomorrow, they have a big chance. It will depend on what happens to Hearts later in the day at Kilmarnock. If Rangers don't win in Paisley on Sunday, then they can just forget everything. That's their season over. But I just think that it's actually quite amazing the dip in quality that Celtic have suffered through their own fault, through selling quality and buying. And I think mediocrity is actually a generous word now when you look at some people who are getting a Celtic shirt now. So I think it will ultimately tell on them, the lack of threat up front, because Nygren, as I say, is a top scorer. The second top goal scorer has 8 goals and hasn't scored in his last 13 games. That has to tell in the end.
I think when you look at Celtic, Gary, over the last couple of years, whether it was Giamakis, whether it was Kyogo, there was Maeda last year. One of the Celtic strikers has nearly always been, if not the top of the goal scoring charts, one of the top. And to have your midfield player just now, Benjamin Nico, which is great, don't get me wrong, but the striking department, I think you'd have to be honest and say, is as poor as an area that Celtic have had in many a year. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, obviously, relative recent terms, the likes of Dembele and Edward and Lee Griffiths and, you know, just a number of players who, you know, were always going to score goals. But if you look at anyone in that Celtic team, even if they were all fit, you're thinking, who's going to score goals for Celtic? And it is very difficult to keep scoring late goals, and it's very difficult to keep the back door closed all the time and nick wins. But you're right, at this moment in time, that they're winning, and that's building confidence. And well, the result last week again will give them an enormous confidence. And Motherwell come and attack Celtic, which I do think helps Celtic as well. Motherwell not come and sit in a low block, so I think that'll make the game open. So I do think that will help Celtic.
Celtic scored three against Motherwell at Celtic Park last time it was there. Motherwell don't concede three in a game very often. I think Motherwell actually are better now than they were then, to be fair. But Gary, maybe everybody's right, because none of us would dream of arguing with your tally. Celtic have scored the most amount of goals in the league. You're bang on. Do you have any concerns about that number nine position, where all of a sudden we're now back at Maeda, having tried Chavanchara, Adamu, Iheanacho, Kenny, who started the season up front, was it? Was he there this season? My goodness, I can't even.
No, I think he'd go in.
Remember, it feels like so long ago. You got any concerns about that number nine, or do you think like Negrin and the combined effort? No, Ida did start against St Mirren. Sorry, opening day. Any concerns that the number nine position is an issue, or Negrin etc. doing enough to score?
Well, listen, we've still got a guy in there who's, yes, he's having a bad season. Now, say that's through just bad form or a huff and kind of a lack of effort sometimes. That's my idea I'm talking about. He's obviously done it last year, so he can do it. I think people are just hoping that it clicks in for the next nine games, the next nine league games anyway, plus the cup final. I think we're very unlucky to lose Callum Osmond. I know he only played a couple of games, but he looked as if he had something. And I look forward to him coming back and being fit, because he could save Celtic a lot of money if he gets fit and proves himself before they need to go and spend millions. But we are weak compared to where we've been, but we're obviously still a wee bit stronger than anybody else in that scoring department, because the facts don't lie.
The facts don't lie in the other side of the coin as well, because Celtic have conceded seven goals more than Hearts, six goals more than Rangers, and 11 goals more than Motherwell.
I'm not talking about the defence, but I was asking about the forwards. I mean,
you have to talk about the forwards and the defence, surely.
No, but you've just asked me the question, so I will now answer that. But you asked me, I was going to talk about that before, because I was answering Gordon's question. The defence, I think they're better when their backs to the wall, i.e. Bologna, Atalanta, Rangers last week, and that's been mentioned before. susceptible sometimes. I think the keeper coming in will help us come through at the end of the season, Sinisalo. I think he just kind of exudes a confidence. There's a couple of times last week at Rangers, at Ibrox, where they could probably get through 1-1 because he played a more kind of Manuel Neuer type sweeper keeper and managed to get out in time to kind of clear mishaps. I think Schmeichel in goals there, you've got 1-1. So I think the defence will show up a good bit in the next nine
I think games. It has done, Gary, since Wilfred Nancy's left, because he played such an open team, an open game, that they were losing goals left, right and centre. But Martin O'Neill was definitely, you know, get you know, more organised, more structure in the team, and more balance in the team. Again, I go back to the point where he knows he's maybe not as free flowing and doesn't score as many goals and not as much creativity, not as much goal threat. So he's using his experience as a top class manager to say, okay, well, there's other ways to win games. Yeah. A bit like Arsenal getting down south. You get criticised for winning games sometimes, which I always find is strange, because if you don't win games, you're not in a job very long.
Thank you very much to Gary on the line. Any more on this teaser? It is tricky. The last seven players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game: John Joe Kenny and Callum McGregor.
John Suter?
Nope. I thought you were onto something there, because same team, same era, same first name.
Who did you say there?
John Suter. I'm not.
John.
Name all the Johns they can possibly think of.
That's what I'm thinking now. I know, that's what I'm trying to get through now. Like
John Lennon.
I thought you had it. Same first letter.
No, I honestly can't think of anybody.
John.
Right, well, this could be a new low for the teaser. No. A Rangers player called John L. Seriously? John. Oh no, we're going to shut down. We're going to
Lindstrom.
Yes, John Lindstrom.
Lindstrom.
There we go. My goodness. John Lindstrom. I was going to say we'll get the rest when we can.
There are hundreds of Rangers players who probably played by the name John.
No. You're not getting away.
Of course, you've got the answers there.
John L from the last few seasons. I was going to say we'll get the rest of the answers when we return. We probably won't, but we'll try.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are underway in the big championship game tonight, Morton against Partick Thistle. 2 minutes gone and no goals to tell you about yet, perhaps unsurprisingly. On the full-time teaser tonight, though, it's a good one. Thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow for helping us out. It was David in Dumfries. Very difficult, I have to say. The last 7 players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game. You have, eventually, we got John Lindstrom, you got John Joe Kenny and Callum McGregor quite easily, though. 4 to get.
Yeah, well, we thought that there was one under the Ange era. We think it's Carl Starfelt.
Carl Starfelt is one of them, yes. Well
but
done.
We're struggling after that.
Okay,
my
yeah.
shoes come up with nails.
3 to get, and I can tell you they're all between 2003 and 2010 is your range here. That's your range. Right. I mean, they're really tricky, because if you can't remember it now, the incident, I don't know how you just...
Yeah,
how you get
Alan
it?
Thompson.
Nah, so 2 defenders. There's a goalie. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you there's a goalie in there.
Okay. Bobo Baldi.
Nah. Anyway, before we go any further, big game tonight. We said it was goalless. Your old team, Jim Duffy, Morton.
Yeah. Two old teams, Morton and Patrick Thistle.
You're all across
both,
and you're employed in the championship currently. Flying, incidentally, Queen's Park.
Yeah, we've certainly improved over the last couple of months. Yeah, be a bit more consistent, and in the championship, you know, the games are ultra difficult.
Do you want us to give you all the credit for it? We can do that. We've got that power. If you want to take all the credit for it.
No, me personally, I wouldn't want any credit, because at the end of the season, if we do well, then of course, then you can do what you like. But the moment, no, it's too precarious, the division, to look beyond any game. So. We've got a game tomorrow against Ayr, who we played during the week. But, you know, there's never a game. If you look at this game tonight, Morton against Thistle, you would think Thistle a stronger team and, you know, very consistent. But you wouldn't put past Morton winning down there, particularly at Capel on a night like tonight, windy, rainy, horrible, all these kind of things. You know, there is no way you can predict the Scottish Championship. It is the most unpredictable league.
Well, Partick Thistle down there at Capel, as we said, they've started probably the brighter. I'm not sure it was like a definite penalty or anything, but the challenge on Alex Samuel in the box, is that the old one about the player being a wee bit too honest? Yeah. Didn't even protest in
no,
him.
But I think he won the ball clean, and I think that's the reason why Alex Samuel got tackled, and I think he knew himself the ball was won clean and he just got up to take the corner. But yeah, I just like it's refreshing, because we don't have to wait for VAR. You know, so that's the good thing about the championship. The referee makes a decision, get on with it, take the corner.
I felt there was enough to throw a wee appeal the referee's way, Hugh, ask the question. But anyway,
it's a shame when you're questioning your honesty, isn't it?
I know. Still time for a call if you want to squeeze one in. We flirted with it earlier on Beat the Pundit, but I want your extended thoughts, because I know it's not all about the title race tomorrow. Stephen Robinson's the new Aberdeen manager.
Yeah,
what have you made of the way that it's come about, Hugh? Because you said earlier you're surprised at the negativity. You think he's done a good job at St Mirren, a good job at Motherwell prior to that. Where are you on this perceived embarrassment that it's taken all this time when he was under the nose, etc.?
I think when you start with a man who was, manager on the continent and was an attractive name for the Aberdeen fans, and then what Dave Cormack called unforeseen circumstances got in the way and they didn't get Eric Horneland, I began to worry then, because I'm looking at Lutz Fahnenstiel, the sporting director at Pittodrie, and I thought, you seem to be interviewing all your pals now for this job. But I think when Dunfermline won so convincingly in the cup, I think Alan Burrows, the chief exec at Pittodrie, has clearly had to say to Lutz Fahnenstiel, you may not be totally familiar with Stephen Robinson's work, But he's the sort of guy who's going to come in between now and the end of the season, arrest this decline.
Or is it a, is it not a Dave Cormack flexing his will to change things? That seems to be the overriding accusation.
I think
he tends to make big decisions.
Yeah, but he makes bad big decisions. That's why he's looking for his sixth.
You can't really
manager.
Say Jimmy Tielen. I mean, Jimmy Tielen wins a cup as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had a real, I mean, a spell, would they have 11, 12 games that they were unbeaten at the start of the season last year, top of the league. He had a bad spell. Like a lot of managers have, but I don't think it was a terrible appointment.
Was it like, was it like for a manager, Jim? Because if you're Stephen Robinson, you need to take the job. You need to take the challenge. You take the bigger budget, the increased wages, etc., etc.
Bigger club.
Is there any part of you as a manager, if you're Stephen Robinson, that thinks, "Oh, what, like, I'm good enough now for you"? When I was here all along.
Or I think you take the opportunity when it comes along. I think you put your ego aside and you say, "Listen, again, a bit like Hugh was saying, it's a bit of a strange one, because if you'd have thought Stevie Robinson was the guy they were going to get, or certainly one of the main candidates, you think you could have went there 2 months ago, or whenever it was." But also from Stevie's point of view, in terms of, he said it went really quickly. You know, it was within a day or so. But it's a different structure at Aberdeen. He had a lot to say about the recruitment and things like that. At St Mirren, you know the style of player he likes to bring in. Most people know the kind of style of football that St Mirren wanted to play, and Motherwell when he was there. It's a different structure, as Hugh was saying there, about with the director of football, and they've already signed players for next year and continuing to look at players. So, you know, that'll be different for him. He's going to have to adapt to that. And he's also been appointed as the head coach, not the manager, which I think is a wee bit of a kind of, will be a different role for him. So I think it will be a different type of job. There has to be a fit. You do have to fit certain clubs. There's always an opinion with fans. Some fans want you, some fans don't. But I think it's for me, it's along the lines of almost like the Derek McInnes one at Hearts. He's a proven manager in Scottish football. He knows the job. He knows how to get the best out of players. He improves players. So I think it's a very solid appointment, and I think a good appointment. I think, you know, it's the perfect time to go to Aberdeen, because Aberdeen at this moment in time have been very poor.
You don't think they'll get dragged down?
No, I think
it's a fascinating start. Falkirk, John McGlynn,
so good.
Amazed that he wasn't a candidate. I'm amazed.
I honestly think because he's 64. That there's an ageist argument that comes in. And I know Martin O'Neill is 74, but Martin O'Neill is there because Celtic's need was desperate, and he was 6 years out of football and has done a magnificent job. But I think John McGlynn,
if you're the best guy, candidate, I mean, and what John McGlynn's done over the last 4 years or so has been phenomenal.
Yeah, of course.
But he could well win this, finish the season, a cup winner and top six with Falkirk.
But as I say, tomorrow he provides a fascinating opponent.
Partick Thistle have the ball in the net. The offside flag goes up. There is no VAR, and you don't even need it for that one. No. My goodness.
By the length of Maryhill Road, he was offside.
He was nearly in Port Glasgow there, so he's offside. But goalless it remains. Right, I'm asking a lot of you in this teaser. No. Last seven to score an own goal in the Old Firm game: Lundstrom, Starfelt, Kenny, McGregor. Said there was a goalie in there. Rangers goalie, 2005.
Initials?
He's German. I'd rather do that.
Stefan Kloss. Yeah.
And what about a big Dutch Celtic defender from 2010?
I was going to say Mistrovic, but he was
Swedish.
Larsson?
No, Danish.
Get all the countries, kind of get Dutch.
Lubens.
Glenn Lubens. I was going to say Virgil van Dijk.
Oh, no. Yeah. And the last one. Oh, Jim, I wonder if he actually works with you. Dundee? Defender? Rangers? No?
Kinishvili?
Yes.
All right, Zurab, yeah.
Yeah,
Zurab Kinishvili.
Kinishvili, well done. You got that. It was tough. It was very difficult. Thank you for all your calls and your tweets. Rest up. We're going to need it over the weekend. It is a blockbuster weekend, guaranteed. No matter what happens, it will have a development in the title race. So we join you again at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and we cannot wait for it. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. The GBX is up next.